hear not of him, neither need we fear him. His remedy is the same. The present peace and quietness of the people which before were in wild hurry here to make his friends blush that the world goes well. We rather had, though they themselves did suffer by it, behold dissentious numbers pestering streets. Oh, and see our tradesmen singing in their shops and going about their functions friendly.
It's returning good time. Is this Menenius?
Oh, this is he.
Hail, sir.
Hail to you both.
Your Coriolanus is not much missed, but with his friends. The Commonwealth doth stand, and so would do, were he more angry at it. Where is he, hear you?
No, I hear nothing. His mother and his wife hear nothing from him.
Were they tribunes?
That is a slave, whom we have put in prison. Reports the Volscis, with two several powers, are entered in the Roman territories, and with the deepest malice of the war, destroy what lies before them.
It is Aphidius, who, hearing of our Marcius' banishment, thrust forth his horns again into the world, which were enshelled when Marcius stood for Rome. And just not once been prouder.
Come, what talk you, Marcius?
Yeah, see this rumor of whips. It cannot be the Volscis dare break with us.
Cannot be. I have recalled that very well it can. And three examples of the like have been within my age.
But tell not me, I know this cannot be.
Not possible.
The nobles in great earnestness are coming all to the Senate House. Some news there is that stirs their countenances.
But is this slave? Go, with him for the people's eyes. He's raising nothing but his report.
The slave's report is secondary, and more fearful is delivered.
What more fearful?
It is spoke freely out of many mouths. How probably, I do not know, that Marcius, joined with Aufidius, leads a power against Rome and vows revenge as spacious as between the youngest and oldest thing.
So, you have made good work.
What news? If Marcius should be joined with the Volscians.
If? He is their god. He leads them like a thing made by some other deity than nature that shapes man better. And they follow him against us brats with no less confidence than boys pursuing summer butterflies or butchers killing flies.
You have made good work, you and your apron men, that stood so much upon the voice of occupation and the breath of garlic eaters.
All the regions do smilingly revolt. And who resists a mock for valiant ignorance and perish constant fools? Who is complaining? Your enemies and his find something in him.
We are all undone, unless the noble man have mercy.
Who shall ask it? The tribunes cannot do it for shame. The people deserve such pity of him as the wolf does of the shepherds. For his best friends, if they should say, be good to Rome, they charged him even as those should do that had deserved his hate, and therein showed like enemies.
It is true. If you were putting to my house the brand that should consume it, I have not the face to say, beseech you, cease.
You have brought a trembling upon Rome.
May not we brought it?
How was we? We loved him. Like beasts and cowardly nobles gave way unto your clusters who did hoot him out of the city.
But I fear they'll roar him in again. Tullus Aphidius, the second name of men, obeys his points as if he were his officer. Desperation is all the policy, strength, and defense that Rome can make against them.
Here come the clusters that made the air unwholesome when you cast your stinking, greasy caps in hooting at Coriolanus' exile.
If we hear fearful news.
For mine own part, when I said banish him, I said 'twas pity.
So did I.
And so did I. And to say the truth, so did very many of us. Like we did for the best. And though we willingly consented to his banishment, it was against our will.
Your goodly things,